Tommy Lugauer.
Loogie.
Start Dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dogs and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Mom, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Loogie. Have we seen two ends of an era tonight in Pittsburgh? 888-808-1019. As Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin walk off the field in Pittsburgh, is this the end of the career of Aaron Rodgers? In all likelihood, yes. And it ended in not the greatest of ways, not just losing at home and getting blown out. But the final pass, in all likelihood, of the career of Aaron Rodgers was caught by the opposing team and taken back to the house. Now look, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a polarizing figure. Some people love him, some people hate him. The one thing you can't deny is that he's a surefire Hall of Famer. He's had an insane career. You can never take that away from him. And even though he didn't play great tonight, and that's putting it mildly, he went up against the best defense in the NFL, a defense that would make probably most, if not all, quarterbacks in the league look bad. That being said, Rodgers did make the playoffs, and he was able to go out, assuming, you know, well, maybe we'll get an announcement here, although knowing Aaron Rodgers, he'll draw this out. But I think in all likelihood, this is the end. Aaron Rodgers had as good a career as you can have as a quarterback in the NFL. And even though this was a rough night, he still got to the playoffs. And he went out, you know, not a champion, but a quarterback of a team that got to January playoff football. And I think all things considered, that's something you can hang your head proudly about when it's all said and done. Now, as far as Mike Tomlin, who in many ways, ask a Steeler fan, is like the Brian Cashman of Pittsburgh. Tomlin is the perfect example of a guy that wins year in and year out. Regular season, they always finish above 500. They always get to the playoffs. But how many years in a row now, or how many times in a row, have a Mike Tomlin coach Steeler team gotten to the playoffs and failed and not won a playoff game? And you heard it a few weeks ago in Pittsburgh, the fire Mike Tomlin chants, and they were quieted as the Steelers went on a run, won a bunch of games, got into the playoffs. The fans booed Renegade couple weeks ago. That was quieted as the Steelers won a few games and got to the playoffs. But after getting thumped 30-6, and it got ugly late. I mean, the Texans scored 23 points in the fourth quarter. Two defensive touchdowns. It got ugly late. But really, the Steeler offense couldn't do anything all night long. It was 7-6 at halftime, but Houston had dominated the game. If it wasn't for C.J. Stroud just playing just absolutely awful football and turning the ball over left and right, the Texans would have been up probably 30-6 at halftime based on the way they performed in the first half. But after this drubbing, the Steeler fans, who in many ways have grown tired of Mike Tomlin, they once again went back to the fire Mike Tomlin chants. And in an offseason where we've already seen John Harbaugh get let go by the Ravens, could Mike Tomlin be the next out the door? Now he's got a couple of years left on his contract. So the team has him under control. It's a very, I would say, tricky situation, only because you could look to the Ravens as a team that, you know, it was a long marriage. They got rid of Harbaugh because it was just time to move on. And it was the perfect chance and perfect window and opportunity because they did miss out on the playoffs. Tomlin got to the playoffs. Yeah, they lost again in the playoffs, but they got there. And you could let him go. You could trade him for a draft pick. But what? I don't think John Harbaugh is going to go to Pittsburgh. I can't see that. So who are you replacing Mike Tomlin with? And that's the Pittsburgh side of it. Now, if they do get rid of him, or they are willing to trade him, how could the Jets not give up one of their draft picks for Mike Tomlin? Like, honestly, if you start with Mike Tomlin and then go get the quarterback, like Mike Tomlin alone, we've seen it in Pittsburgh without any kind of quarterback play. Now, this year he had Rodgers, but what about all these other years? If you're the Jets, wouldn't you at least pick up the phone? If it comes down to a trade? Now, if he out and out just gets fired, then it's really open season, and then the Giants can become a player here, and that really makes things interesting. Because the John Harbaugh stuff, at this point, based on everything that we've heard today about Harbaugh and the Giants, first story out of The Athletic, Ian O'Connor, Giants executive Chris Mara met with John Harbaugh for lunch Sunday and had an informal meeting at Harbaugh's house. Then there was a story in the Post that Tom Coughlin has reached out to John Harbaugh about the job. So we have reached, Joe Shane has reportedly had conversations with John Harbaugh. It is a full court press by the Giants to get John Harbaugh. So at this stage, if the Giants don't get John Harbaugh and he picks another team, it's a really bad look for the Giants. Now, I, for one, feel like the pivot is to McCarthy, the guy I've been saying should get the job all along. But if, and I'm saying locally, because around the league, you know, I think if the opportunity to coach the Giants with this quarterback, people would jump at that. But just locally, how we've all painted the picture of don't let Harbaugh out of the building. There's no reason to think that John Harbaugh wouldn't want to coach the Giants when you consider the young franchise quarterback, when you consider the young nucleus that Joe Shane has built here. There's no reason to think that John Harbaugh wouldn't pick the Giants. So if he doesn't, it's a bad look for the organization. When they are going to the recruiting lengths of going to his house, having lunch with him, having former Super Bowl winning coach call him. The Giants are pulling out all the stops to woo John Harbaugh and to convince him that this is the destination that John Harbaugh should pick. Because one would believe when you factor in age and you factor in how long Harbaugh was in Baltimore, and you factor in that he's a great head coach, this is in all likelihood John Harbaugh's last stop in the NFL. So he's going to be calculated. He's going to take his time. Apparently all the meetings outside of the Mara lunch, which is more informal. We're talking like formal meetings. Because there was a report today that John Harbaugh had a meeting with Atlanta, and we find out it wasn't in person. It was either Zoom or over the phone. So the in-person formal meetings for John Harbaugh sounds like they won't start till later in the week, and the Giants are on that list. But I expect, and based on everything we've all seen and read, that John is going to be calculated here. He's going to take his time because this is an important decision for him, and it's obviously a very important situation for the Giants. If you get left at the altar based on all the stops that you pulled out, there will be a lot of people that point and laugh at the Giants and say, what went wrong? And people will blame Joe Shane, and people will blame ownership, and people will blame the situation. So that will be a long, hard day for the Giants if they can't get John Harbaugh to sign on the dotted line. Now, obviously, if Mike Tomlin becomes available, and as we know, Mike McCarthy is still out there. He's set to interview this week. There are tremendous, not even backup options, but just options that are on the same level as Harbaugh. Now, based on something Connor Hughes put out there today, there are coaching candidates around the league that believe Harbaugh will either land with the Giants or the Falcons. And to me, if that's the case, then it's the Giants. Because I don't see how Atlanta has any, as far as their franchise, any leg up over the Giants. When you have a quarterback in place, when you have a young franchise quarterback, that should be an overwhelming selling point and reason for you to pick that team. And Connor Hughes went on to say, if let's say John Harbaugh picks the Falcons, then Kevin Stefanski would be the likely person to be hired by the Giants, which I would not do. And I've been on record saying that I am adamant about that. I would not hire Kevin Stefanski. I think he's Brian Daboll 2.0. He failed in Cleveland, under 500 record, won a coach of the year, big deal, won another coach of the year, who cares? Won one playoff game and finished with an under 500 record and was fired and was on a losing team and a losing culture and a losing organization. And that's not something that I want to bring around this Giants team that is trying to rebuild a culture and rebuild a winning organization. The last thing I want to do is bring a guy like Kevin Stefanski in as a head coach. As an offensive coordinator, I'm certainly open to it, because I do think Stefanski, who has been a coordinator, who is a great offensive mind, who in no doubt or no doubt of mine would be great to handle Jackson Dart, to continue what I already think is a pretty close to developed quarterback anyway, but he can help in that process. But I would not hire Kevin Stefanski as the head coach. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. This is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer. Loogie, a little loogie in the late night. But it'll be interesting to see what falls out here with the Steelers. And I can't even get on Steeler fans for the fire Tomlin chance, because we live that here in New York with Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman, his success that he has had with the Yankees, 99% of baseball / sports franchises would sign for it in a second. You put a winning product on the field every year. The team performs every year in the regular season. You get to the postseason year in and year out, barring major injuries, and you always give your fans a fun ride during the season, and they walk into every year, even in a slow offseason like this. Yankee fans are going to be pumped up come March and April. Same thing with Steeler fans. They walk into every August and September saying, well, we have Mike Tomlin, we have a shot. We know we're going to finish over 500. We know we're going to get to January playoff football, and we'll take our chances from there. But year after year, and it's been three straight years for the Steelers that they've been put in this situation, or have been in this situation, with the same exact outcome to end the season, I understand the frustration, because you feel like you're hit your ceiling and you can't break through it. But you never know what's on the other side. Like, I talk about this with Mike McCarthy. Yep, 10-7, 10-7, 10-7 wild card loss the last 3 years for the Steelers. The Packers got rid of McCarthy, and overall, their success hasn't been the same since he's gone. The Cowboys couldn't wait to get rid of Mike McCarthy, and they have not repeated the same success that they had with McCarthy. And sometimes fan bases take winning for granted, and they no longer quench their thirst, or their thirst is quenched by just winning in the regular season. They want more. And that's why I think multiple franchises, like depending on the team you look at, they are in different situations. The Steelers find themselves in a place where, all right, we get it. 10 wins, wild card. 10 wins, wild card. 10 wins, wild card. Is there a, can we take the next step? Especially when you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and your ultimate goal is Super Bowl and you've won so many Super Bowls through the years. The Giants, they find themselves in a totally different boat. The Giants are at a point where it's about getting to the playoffs. Like, I know it sounds crazy, and right now you say, well, this feels like a loser mentality, but I think it's the, you know, we got to crawl before we walk, walk before we run, and there are steps when you are building something. Wouldn't we all sign for 3 straight 10-win seasons, get to the playoffs, and take our chances with Jackson Dart? I would. And I would be questioning your sanity if you weren't in the same boat as me. Because football in this town, whether it is the Giants or the Jets, has been so horrific for so long that 10 wins, wild card round, seems like nirvana. Seems like the place you want to be. Seems like a necessary goal and a necessary step to get to the much bigger step, which is getting back to the conference championship game, the Super Bowl, and so forth. And this push that the Giants are on, and they've gone all in here, and they've made it very clear, and that's why this stuff is getting out there, that, and I think it's a message to their fans, because right now, there is a lot of unrest, there's a lot of frustration with the Giant fan base, whether it's at Joe Shane, whether it's at just the way things are being run, and sort of the chain of command. Like, Joe Shane didn't go to Harbaugh's house for lunch. Chris Mara did. Do you take anything out of that? I mean, it could just be, you know what? Shane talked to him on the phone. Now Mara goes there for a visit. Different voices, different situations. Coughlin calls him. You want to hit him with all different types of angles, all different types of voices, all different types of messages. And that's probably what it is. But is this a situation where they want to keep Joe Shane out of it? I mean, eventually Joe Shane's got to sit in a room with him. When they have the big meeting coming up, everybody's going to be involved. And I've said it before, if Joe Shane is, and I like the job that Joe Shane has done. I think he's done a good job. I would give him a B+. And maybe I'm an easy marker, but I look at a roster that I believe has improved at all the positions since, all right, maybe not kicker, but all the positions, and maybe the secondary when it's, but when it's healthy, I think it's better. Certainly the offensive line, defensive line, quarterback, running back room, wide receiver. That's a lot. That is a lot. But if Harbaugh or Tomlin, if he becomes available, and I would say even my guy McCarthy, I think McCarthy will play ball more, but those two guys have a little bit more position of power. Harbaugh would and Tomlin would. McCarthy, even despite his great resume, seems like he is not in a position of power because he has that Dallas stench. He was in the circus. You know, he was working the carnival rides, guessing people's weight, working with the bearded lady, you know, eating fire. And that's what happens when you're the head coach of the Cowboys. It's tough to shake it, even with a resume that has a Super Bowl in it, beating Mike Tomlin in the Super Bowl, over 600 winning percentage, multiple times winning over double-digit games, double-digit appearances to the playoffs with two different teams. He just doesn't have all the cards right now. But Harbaugh does and Tomlin would. But the fallout here with Pittsburgh would be very interesting. And again, and I don't know how many more guys have to become available or how many situations have to arise here for Woody Johnson to reevaluate his decision to bring Aaron Glenn back. Because if Tomlin becomes available and Harbaugh is available, and let's say even though it sounds like LaFleur might stay with Green Bay, what if he becomes available And as much as I don't like Stefanski, he's more accomplished than Glenn. Well, Glenn's only had 1 year, but still, Stefanski, if you just match his first year versus Glenn's first year, then you give the nod to Stefanski. You better be right with Aaron Glenn, because you may never see a free agency class like this again when it comes to head coaches. And the window of opportunity would then close. And if you let go of Glenn in a couple years, then you're shuffling and scuffling and trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces. And the Jets, and it hasn't been talked about as much because the sole focus here, or a big focus, is the Giants because they have a head coaching vacancy. But I think the Jets, their offseason and their situation is equally as important, I would even say dire, because when you trade off young, talented players like Sauce, like Quinn and Williams, and you accumulate all these picks, and you have the number two draft pick, and you are in a situation to either, like I've thrown out there, trade for Jalen Hurts, trade for Justin Herbert, maybe you trade for Joe Burrow, or you trade out of two, get another player, a quarterback later in this draft, or you're kicking the can down the road to next year, which is dicey. But either way, that next future quarterback that you hope is the savior is going to arrive either this year or next year. And if you don't have the right infrastructure in place, it's going to be another Sam Darnold situation where he's going to fail with the Jets. And then years later, after going to the right teams and the right franchises and learning under the right head coaches, like he did in San Francisco, and then he goes to Minnesota, he thrives. And now he's in Seattle and he's thriving. That's what's going to happen. Even Geno Smith, who I know had a rough year, but he had good years in Seattle because he got away from the Jets, who had a bad infrastructure and bad coaching, got with the right team, the right organization, with a right head coach, and blossomed into a quarterback that could get you to the playoffs. So just because you have all these picks and an opportunity to get a quarterback, if you don't have the right coach and you don't have the right culture, then you're going to screw it up and you're going to lose. So Woody Johnson really needs to, especially if Tomlin becomes available, because I mean, this is, and like I said, the Jets are more attractive than I'm sure. The Jet fan will tell you the job's not attractive. But the Jet fan is also so beaten down that they can't, they don't want, they already did their hair. They already put their nice shirt on. They already tied their tie, put a pair of slacks on. They already put the nice fresh sneaks on for Aaron Rodgers. They don't want to get dressed up again. You know what I mean? They want to be the guy that's married that goes out in their sweatpants and sweatshirt and call me when we win 10 games. They don't want to get dressed up. They already got dressed up, all ready for the date, and the phone never rang. So they don't want to admit that they're in a good position right now. But they could screw that position up, but they are in a good one, and I think they are attractive for head coaches. If that, like, we would be debating right now if Aaron Glenn tomorrow or yesterday or 3 days from now, if the Jets come out and say, we've let Aaron Glenn go, it would be a big debate on this radio station, which job is more attractive. Because I would like to think somebody, and I'll make it now, that the Jets, you can make a case for them. Where they're picking in the draft, how many draft picks they have acquired a lot of assets to build for the future. And I think with the amount of unrest there is around the league in terms of quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Herbert, Burrow, there is an opportunity, a big one here, for the Jets to strike it big with a quarterback, either this year or next year. And I think anytime you're in that situation, I don't care what the history of the franchise is, I don't care who the owner is, that is an attractive destination. Let's go to, this is Loogie in the Late Night After Hours, Tommy Lugauer. Let's go to Mark in East Rockaway. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Loogie, I love what you do, man. Thanks. I appreciate it every night.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, just quick from the Giants head coaching position. You mentioned LaFleur before. If he becomes available, I think it's a possibility. I do like John Harbaugh right now because of his development of his players, of a quarterback, defensive-minded, which is what the Giants were always successful at when they were successful. We got to bring back a culture, like you said, that is a winning culture. So at this point, between LaFleur and between Harbaugh and Tomlin and McCarthy that you mentioned, I do like somebody who would work with a younger quarterback like Dart while keeping the defensive mind. You know,
yeah, and Mark, I think that's no matter who the head coach ends up being, that's what makes the staff equally as important.
Yes.
And I can't stress that enough. Like, when you look at all the teams, especially those that win a lot of Super Bowls, I think back to the Belichick Patriot teams. I think back to the Chiefs teams now with Reed and Spags. I think back, I think of the Eagles teams now and the staffs they've put together. It is so important to have great coaches across the board. You know what I mean?
Yes. Character. You got to bring back character.
No doubt.
And the way that the Ravens players have talked about Harbaugh.
Yep.
Sounds like he's a good man.
Well, that's to me where Harbaugh is the supreme leader at the top.
Yep.
And then you need sort of your lieutenants or whatever you want to call it underneath to police a lot of other stuff and control, because
agreed,
things can slip through the cracks. There's a lot that the head coach has to deal with, like even just outside of football, whether it's media, management, you know, drama. There's a lot of things that go into being a coach in the NFL, especially in the modern day with social media. So you need a strong system underneath you. With
correct,
think about the Jets when they fired Saleh. Yeah, it wasn't great, but the wheels fell off. The defense was terrible.
Yeah, who are they going to give it to? Exactly.
The Giants, they got worse when Dable got fired. Why? Because you move one guy over to the big chair and you weaken the other chairs, which were already weak. So the staff is equally as important. And when you hire an established head coach, the trust to build that staff is greater. Now, and the internet stole this, but it is what it is. I mean, the real ones know I put it out there, and we have the audio. We saved the tapes. Weeks ago, on Evan and Tiki, my former employers, I put out my dream staff for the Giants, and it was McCarthy, Mike McDaniel, and Pierce. McDaniel, obviously, Miami Mike with the women's sunglasses and the capris and the hitting the pen on the sidelines, and he rolls up his sleeves, and the hair is gelled, and he hates the cold. Sounds like my kind of guy already. And then, of course, Antonio Pierce, just alpha male, the ties to the organization, a guy that could come here and motivate and really get a guy like Dexter Lawrence going, who needs the motivation, because I don't think he's shot, but I do think he's checked out. Abdul Carter, whether it's motivation or just unlocking, hey, this is the next level, this is the NFL, and we got to take your game to the next step here to justify where we picked you or where the Giants picked you and reaching the potential that we all know he has, because he just jumps off the page. When you watch him, you're like, this should be a 10-plus sack guy, and it didn't happen this year, rookie year. I think it had a lot more to do with scheme and just the voices in the room and leadership, which Antonio Pierce would bring. Now, the internet went wild with the Harbaugh, McDaniel, Antonio Pierce one. You know, millions of views for a picture for it. I mean, that was mine. But you just inserted Harbaugh from McCarthy. But same thing, as far as I'm concerned. Harbaugh and McCarthy, different messages, but same results. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ Precision Cooking. Effortless results. Chef IQ. .com. And I touched on it a little earlier, the Steelers and Texans here, rounding out it didn't end well. Like, wild card weekend started off phenomenally, and we got exciting, fun games. Panthers, Rams, way better than advertised. Bears, Packers was theater, under the lights in Chicago, a fan base that's been starving for that kind of moment against their heated rival. Then you get the Bills, Jags, back and forth, fun game. 49ers, I mean, especially locally here, we all took great pleasure in seeing the Eagles lose. And then you got a slog last night. I mean, that game was boring. And Justin Herbert continues to fold under the bright lights. But if I was the Jets, I would 100% take a... I don't even think it's a flyer, because he is very good, if not great at times. And the talent is there. Much like Matthew Stafford when he was with the Lions, and it was like, well, yeah, but he's on a lovable loser team. And I know Herbert, it's more on him, these mistakes he's made in January. But I will always take a run on that kind of talent. And I think the Jets should do that. And then we get tonight, Texans Steelers. It was a very boring game for most of it. Houston takes over, scores 23 in the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers, in all likelihood, the final pass of his career was completed, except it was to the other team, taken back to the house. And for the Rodgers haters out there, and I know there's a lot of people that don't like the guy personally and don't like how he carries himself and how he's self-absorbed and all that, they're enjoying tonight because he walked off the field as a loser, throwing a pick six to end his career. But I think that, you know, I for one, hey, he's a Hall of Famer. The Texans defense is going to make anybody look bad. And I think that he went out with dignity. He got to the playoffs. Oh, and by the way, I'm not backing off of this. If Rodgers and Adams were on the Jets this past year, I think they make the playoffs. And I still think it was a mistake. I'm not going to completely bang the drum on that tonight, obviously, because Rodgers didn't play well tonight. But I still stand by that the Jets made the wrong decision by doing that, because I thought getting into the playoffs and kind of breaking that schneid was important to do. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to those calls. I see you guys up there. Giants, Jets. We'll open it up to a little bit of baseball. I got you till 2 a.m. here on The Fan. The latest with Cody Bellinger and the Yankees. The latest with the Mets and Kyle Tucker. Plenty to do here. Loogie in the late night. After hours. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.